Good morning, and welcome to the DCP Midstream Partners second quarter 2012 earnings call and webcast. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. Please note this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Johnny Anwar of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Denise. Good morning, and welcome to DCP Midstream Partners second quarter 2012 earnings release conference call. As always, we want to thank you for your interest in the partnership. Today, you will hear from Mark Bloor, President and CEO, and Rose Robeson, Senior Vice President and CFO. This call is being webcast, and the slides used for today's call are available on our website at www.dcppartners.com. As a reminder, our discussion today may contain forward-looking statements. Actual results may differ due to certain risk factors that affect our business. Please review the second slide in the deck that describes our use of forward-looking statements and lists some of the risk factors that may affect actual results. For a complete listing of those risk factors, please review our most recent Form 10-Ks and 10-Qs as filed with the SEC. During our discussion, we will use various non-GAAP measures, which are reconciled to the nearest GAAP measures in schedules provided on our website. We ask that you review that information as well. Also, with the closing in March 2012 acquisition of the remaining two-thirds interest in DCP Southeast Texas Holdings, GP, for Southeast Texas from DCP Midstream, LLC, and in accordance with accounting treatment for entities under common control, our results include the historical results of Southeast Texas for all periods presented. For comparison purposes, we've also included our 2011 historical results as reported in 2011 prior to the transaction, which will be the emphasis of our discussion today. Now I will turn it over to Mark Bloor. Mark?
Thanks, Johnny. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us today for a discussion of our second quarter results. As you saw in our press release last evening, we reported second quarter results which were in line with our 2012 DCF guidance, excluding a non-cash lower of cost or market inventory adjustment in our wholesale propane business. We raised our distribution again this quarter, representing a 1.5% sequential quarterly increase in line with our forecast of 6%-8% distribution growth in 2012. This distribution increase reflects our confidence in the future cash flows from our visible growth, despite the recent weakness in the NGL markets. Our distribution coverage ratio for the trailing 12 months is approximately 1.0 times, adjusted for the timing of the actual distributions paid. Although this coverage is a little lower than our target range of 1.1-1.2, this ratio includes the non-cash lower of cost or market inventory adjustment and reflects the financing lead time impact of ongoing organic growth projects such as Eagle Plant and Keathley Canyon. We continue to execute on our growth objectives with an eye toward increasing our asset and business diversity, as well as our fee-based margins. To this end, we completed the previously announced drop-down by our general partner of the interest in the Mont Belvieu fractionators, as well as a smaller but strategic acquisition of the Crossroads system in East Texas from Penn, Virginia, which I'll discuss a little later. Both transactions are predominantly fee-based and immediately accretive. We are well-positioned to continue to grow distributable cash flow based on our previously announced organic growth projects, as well as our targeted drop-down of Sand Hills and Southern Hills in the 2013 and 2014 timeframe. In summary, we had a solid quarter, and we continue to execute on our growth strategy with emphasis on co-investing with our general partner. Let me now turn to slide four to provide a brief operational and key growth project update. Our natural gas services segment generates margins from a mix of fee and commodity-based businesses, with our commodity positions substantially hedged. Despite recent weakness in NGL prices, we have continued to see strong drilling in the liquids-rich areas. As a reminder, our dry gas exposure is relatively limited, and where we are in dry gas basins, we generally have contract structures that mitigate volume exposure, such as the substantial ship or pay commitments in the Piceance Basin. This segment continues to experience substantial growth with our late first quarter drop-down of the remaining two-thirds interest in our Southeast Texas business, the ongoing construction of our Eagleford processing plant, targeted to go in service later this year, and our July Crossroads system acquisition in East Texas. And finally, our Keithley Canyon organic growth project at Discovery is well underway with a target in-service date in mid-2014. Our NGL logistics segment provides broad exposure to the NGL value chain with assets that are well positioned in strong, growing markets such as the Eagleford and DJ basins. We are pleased with the significant growth in scale and scope of this predominantly fee-based business over a short period of time, including our recently announced 10% interest in Texas Express and the July $200 million drop-down of the Mount Bellevue fractionators. We expect this segment to have significant growth in the next couple of years with the targeted drop-down of the Southern Hills and Sand Hills pipelines. Wholesale propane had a challenging quarter. While the second and third quarters generally provide break-even quarters, this quarter was also impacted by the lingering impacts of a near-record warm winter. Historically, this segment has had relatively stable performance, and we continue to have a favorable competitive position in this business. Turning to slide 5, let me provide some additional details on the Mount Bellevue fractionator dropdown. The interests acquired include a 20% ownership interest in the Mount Bellevue 1 fractionator, which is operated by One Oak Partners. And we also acquired a 12.5% interest in the Enterprise fractionator, also located at Mount Bellevue, which is operated by Enterprise Product Partners. In the aggregate, these interests represent approximately 55,000 to 60,000 barrels per day of fractionation capacity. This immediately accretive drop-down provides us with fee-based margins and additional diversification of our business portfolio by expanding our NGL logistics segment. Slide 6 provides a summary of our acquisition of the Crossroads system from Penn, Virginia. This system, located in the southeastern portion of Harrison County in East Texas, includes a modern 80 million cubic feet per day cryogenic processing plant and related gathering and pipeline facilities. The proximity of this bolt-on acquisition to our East Texas footprint provides for a seamless and straightforward integration with our existing East Texas business. The Crossroads system is underpinned by predominantly fee-based margins. Anadarko and Indigo Minerals have recently announced they are ramping up liquids-rich drilling activity behind our East Texas footprint, and this acquisition will enhance our ability to serve these customers and other producers in the area. Let me now give an update on our co-investment activity with DCP Midstream LLC, or as I refer to as LLC. Slide 7 shows our updated co-investment activity in our various forms of co-investment. Co-investment has continued at a nice pace, as you can see this quarter with the addition of the Mount Bellevue fractionators. The cumulative amount of co-investments now stands at almost $1 billion over the last year and a half. As we have done in the past, this timeline is based on when the investments were announced. Turning to slide 8, I'd like to spend a few minutes on our capital forecast and distribution growth outlook. Our capital commitment outlook for 2012 currently stands at approximately $900 million, including $685 million in co-investments with our general partner, $150 million in organic growth, and the $63 million Crossroads acquisition. Of the $685 million in co-investments, we have completed approximately $525 million year-to-date, including the Southeast Texas drop-down, Texas Express acquisition, and Mount Bellevue fractionator drop-down. With this growth capital outlook, our targeted distribution growth remains intact at 6 to 8% in 2012 and 6 to 10% in 2013 and 14. Now, let me turn it over to Rose to review the numbers.
Thanks, Mark, and I would also like to thank everyone for joining our call today. Before I review the results, I wanted to mention as a reminder, under Common Control Accounting Treatment, our 2011 results reflect Southeast Texas as if we own the assets for the 2011 periods. However, my discussion today will compare our results to the 2011 as reported numbers, which better reflects the trends and results achieved over time. So let's take a look at the quarter. For the second quarter of 2012, our adjusted EBITDA was $35.1 million compared to adjusted EBITDA as reported for second quarter of 2011 of $45 million. As Mark mentioned earlier, our second quarter of 2012 adjusted EBITDA includes a $14.5 million non-cash LCM adjustment in our wholesale propane segment. Excluding the LCM adjustment, second quarter results reflect growth in our natural gas services segment from the drop-down of the remaining amount of our East Texas and Southeast Texas assets. On a sequential quarter basis, in addition to the items previously discussed, our results in the second quarter of 2012 reflect the normal seasonality of our wholesale propane business. Our distributable cash flow for the second quarter was approximately $22 million, including the $14.5 million LCM adjustment, as compared to $39 million in second quarter of 2011. Excluding the LCM adjustment, our DCF would have been $36.5 million, which is consistent with our 2012 forecast and reflective of our normal seasonality of our business. As Mark indicated earlier, our distribution coverage ratio for the trailing 12 months is approximately 1.0 times, adjusted for the timing of the actual distributions paid. So now let's take a look at our earnings by business segment. Starting on slide 10 with natural gas services, our adjusted EBITDA for the second quarter increased to $53 million from approximately $40 million in second quarter of 2011, reflecting growth related to the East Texas and Southeast Texas drop-downs. Partially offsetting this growth was continued weakness in commodity prices. As a reminder, for 2012, we are approximately 70% hedged on an overall basis, and about 60% of our NGL hedges are direct product hedges. Our natural gas throughput and NGL production were both higher in 2012, primarily associated with growth from East Texas and Southeast Texas. Turning to slide 11, our NGL logistics adjusted EBITDA was up slightly over second quarter of 2011. Higher EBITDA reflects growth and increased throughput on our pipelines, partially offset by operating expense timing. On a sequential quarter basis, our volume on the Wattenberg pipeline was negatively impacted by third-party fractionation outages in the Mid-Continent. Comparing year-over-year, volumes are higher from last year due to the Wattenberg expansion project completed in May 2011 and higher volumes coming out of the Eagle Ford area on our Seabreeze pipeline. Slide 12 shows our results from our wholesale propane segment. Due to the decline in propane prices in the second quarter, in accordance with GAAP accounting treatment, we wrote down our propane inventory to market. As a reminder, we have had LCM adjustments in the past. However, our propane inventory is hedged and/or sold under fixed pricing arrangements. So as in the past, we expect to recover this write-down when the inventory is sold over next winter's heating season. This business has significant seasonality, with the majority of its earnings coming during the first and fourth quarters, and break even to slightly positive quarters in the second and third quarter. So in addition to our normal seasonality in the business, margins were down approximately another $5 million in the second quarter of 2012 due to the lingering impacts of one of the warmest winters on record. Turning to slide 13, we remain in a very strong position to continue to execute on our growth plans and provide a very effective source of funding growth for the DCP Midstream enterprise. We have a competitive cost of capital, and with our investment grade ratings and demonstrated access to the capital markets, we are well positioned to fund our growth. We raised approximately $175 million in equity in early July through a private placement in support of our ongoing growth. Our leverage ratio at the end of the second quarter was 3.4 times, well within our targeted range of 3 to 4 times. And lastly, we continue to have significant liquidity and ongoing support from our banking partners to execute on our growth plans. So now let me review our DCF forecast. Although our business is substantially fee-based or commodity hedged, we do provide our forecast in the context of the commodity pricing environment. If you take into account the commodity prices year-to-date and the forward curve for the balance of 2012, the table would indicate DCF between approximately $165 million and $180 million. As a reminder, our 2012 forecast did include the impact of the Southeast Texas dropdown, which was closed on March 30th. Our original forecast did not include the fractionator dropdown or the Crossroads acquisition closed in early July. While we are maintaining our $165 to $180 million DCF forecast range at 2012 price levels, these transactions are mitigating the impacts on DCF from weak NGL prices and lower results in our wholesale propane segment. As introduced in our year-end earnings call, we are targeting distribution growth of 6-8% in 2012. Embedded in our 2012 forecast at the 6% growth rate is the 1 cent increase we made this quarter and last quarter, and the assumption that we would continue to increase the distribution an additional 1 cent every quarter at a minimum. So our second quarter distribution is in line with our forecast. So now let me turn it back to Mark for some concluding remarks.
Thanks, Rose. Turning to slide 15. As we outlined this morning, we are on track to deliver on our 2012 business plan and three-year outlook commitments. We are successfully executing our growth strategy. Our investment-grade ratings and cost of capital position us well to support the execution of the DCP Enterprise strategy to utilize the partnership as a key growth funding vehicle. The large-scale, visible growth opportunities currently in our pipeline put us well on our way to becoming a large-scale, diversified midstream MLP. Given the sources of growth opportunities at both the partnership and LLC, our growth strategy for the partnership continues to be multifaceted. However, with a significant level of growth opportunities currently in LLC's footprint, we would expect relatively more emphasis on co-investment over the next few years. Our co-investment commitments to date and our identified co-investment opportunities total approximately $3 billion. Our target continues to be top quartile total shareholder return, which is underpinned by our visible growth opportunities and strong distribution growth outlook. And lastly, having the strong sponsorship from DCP Midstream LLC, Spectra Energy, and Phillips 66 provides us with a competitive advantage. We're excited about the future and look forward to delivering our attractive value proposition for our unit holders. That is the conclusion of our prepared remarks. And as I turn it back over to Denise, the operator, for your questions, I just want to express my appreciation for your interest in the partnership and joining the call today. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. Our first question will come from Gabe Moreen of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Two questions on wholesale propane, if I could. One, I don't know if you'd be willing to share just how much of that $14.5 million inventory charge, how much of that in your 2012 guidance, how much of that's going to reverse?
Yes, on the LCM adjustment of 14.5, we anticipate the majority of that will reverse in 2012. We may have a little spillover into 2013, but we're anticipating the vast majority will reverse in 2012.
Okay, great. Thanks, Rose. And then bigger picture question on wholesale propane with Northeast propane prices now selling at a discount to Belvue. Two-part question. One was wondering whether there's an opportunity for margin expansion given, I guess, you know, cheaper propane in the backyard of your assets. And conversely, given the changing dynamics around NGL supply in the Northeast, was wondering if you're at all concerned about some of your marine propane terminals being hurt if they don't import as much propane from abroad as they were prior to that, prior to, you know, the Marcellus taking off, for example.
Sure, Gabe. Good morning. This is Mark. We had a, I mean, one of the things as we look at our propane business is that we think we have very good supply optimization capabilities. So in an environment where we have, you know, I'll call it, you know, shifting cost of supply, shifting basis, so to speak, that we feel that, you know, bringing in, whether it be mid-continent supplies, Canadian supplies, railing, you know, supplies from the Marcellus is becoming a key part of our portfolio. So, yes, all those dynamics are entering into things. We did have a very good contracting year for the rail terminals on the, both the sales and supply side of the equation. We will come into the winter with our import terminals being pretty full and substantially committed for sale. You know, the international supplies right now are trading higher than domestic supplies, so we have that flexibility to really shift our supply portfolio around, and we will do that. So you're right on in with respect to, you know, some shifting of supplies and taking advantage of that with our capabilities. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, everyone.
Our next question will come from Elvira Scotto of RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. So just to clarify on the 2012 DCF forecast, that includes the $14.5 million LCM adjustment in this second quarter, but then it also assumes the reversal in the fourth quarter.
Yes, Elvira, that is correct.
Okay, great. My other question is, given the recent Crossroads acquisition and the drop-down of the fractionators, what would you say, what percent of your margin is fee-based now as you've added, you know, these two, well, the fractionators are fee-based, and then I think Crossroads, I think you had mentioned, was primarily fee-based?
Elvira, this is Mark. We haven't recalculated it for the full year, but it's definitely trending up with these acquisitions. We'll restate that as really part of our 2013 outlook, but I would imagine it's moving up, you know, several percentage points. I think we were right at 59 or 60% for the year, and so that would move that up slightly.
Okay, great. Thanks. And then just in terms of hedging, how are you thinking about converting, you know, some of the crude hedges to more direct hedges the rest of this year and then into next year?
Elvira, as you may know, we have for our NGLs currently that are hedged, we have about 60% of those in direct product hedges. And so we've been pretty active on that front for 2012. And we will continue to be opportunistic on putting on additional direct product hedges. No present plans to do so, but that's something that we will do from time to time.
Great, thanks. That's all I had.
Thank you.
The next question will come from Brett Riley of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Morning. Just to follow up on a few of Elvira's questions, I guess going back to the hedge portfolio, could you provide maybe a little bit of color in terms of where those NGL hedges are priced for 13 and 14 that you have on the books right now?
We have in our 10Q, our most recent 10Q, and then obviously we'll be filing another 10Q shortly. We actually have the detail by year and the product price ranges for those. We did put on those hedges in a pretty attractive time frame. Some of them came along with drop downs from midstream, so we have hedges at some decent levels relative to those product hedges. But they're specifically detailed out in the queue.
Got it. And just to clarify, the numbers that you show on slide 23, that crude hedge price does not. Include kind of the blended price if you include, you know, the NGLs as part of the liquid hedge?
That's correct. That is just a crude oil price marker and does not include the NGL hedge price ranges.
Okay. And at this point in time, any guidance around where you do see the fee-based margin kind of moving to in 2013, 14? I know you guys have a 15 number out there, but how quickly do you think, you know, we could get, you know, to a little bit more fee-based income here?
Yeah, I think what we've stated in the last couple quarters with the anticipated drop-down of Sand Hills, Southern Hills, that fee-based currently stands at around 60%. That's a 2011 number, and that would move as high as 80% with the Sand Hills and the Southern Hills acquisition.
Got it. And on those pipelines, you know, with Sand Hills, at least the Eagleford portion of it starting up a little bit later this year, would you consider, you know, buying an interest in that pipeline at some point, or are you looking to do, you know, each of the pipelines in whole at one specific time?
We will. We'll look at, you know, obviously structuring those consistent with our access to capital markets and such. We are getting quite a bit larger as we go through this, so we think the size of transactions can trend up for us, but, you know, we'll work with our general partner really kind of structure the size. We have not landed on exact timing and size yet at this point.
Got it. Thanks. That's all from me, guys.
Thank you.
The next question will come from Michael Bloom of Wells Fargo. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning.
I guess first question on the recent acquisition announcements. What sort of EBITDA multiple should we think about in terms of what you paid for those?
We did not disclose a specific EBITDA multiple for the transactions. We did indicate that they're both transactions were consistent with other drop-down transactions that we've done in the past. That's typically, as you know, Michael's been in the 7 to 9 range as a guide. So, it's indicative of that. And the way we look at the multiple is one, you know, what would the multiple and cash flows be, you know, based upon our first year of operation. So, it's not a trailing sort of multiple. It's one really looking at what would the multiple be in our first year or years of operation.
Okay. And then, given the amount of capital you've spent this year within your different buckets, does that preclude you from doing another drop down this year, or is it possible that you could see another one?
It's possible that we would see another drop down. As we indicated in the prepared script on the slides, we've committed $525 million this year out of our targeted $685 million of co-investment. And it's our expectation that we would meet or exceed our capital forecast for the year.
Okay. And then maybe a slightly longer-term question, but, you know, given the drop in commodity NGL prices in particular and, you know, the resulting impact on the results at DCP Midstream LLC, if this sort of environment persists, could that shift the mix between the funding burden that the MLP will take on versus the sponsor and perhaps shift more of that burden to the MLP?
Well, I think we've had solid cash flows at Midstream over time. They do fluctuate some with commodity prices, obviously, given that they don't hedge. But obviously, the pipelines and such are providing a increased fee-based component. If the pricing environment persisted, there's potential, obviously, for less capital to be deployed. It's possible that that may happen. Although the activity in the LLC's footprint continues to be very active, they've got a number of plants under development and. Their systems are running at very full capacity, and the producers would like to obviously bring on more production of the liquids-rich areas. So, we would expect that we would continue to fund capital with them, and that would be obviously predicated upon the nature and size of the opportunities that the enterprise is executing.
Okay, great. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Michael.
The next question will come from Ross Payne of Wells Fargo. Please go ahead.
How you doing, guys?
Good morning.
Good morning. First question is perhaps for Rose on the leverage metric. How is that defined for your credit facilities? Does that give some kind of performance treatment?
On the leverage metric for the credit facility?
Yes.
Yes. Ross. So it's basically debt to EBITDA, but on the EBITDA side of the equation, we do get some credits for some of the projects that we have in process.
Okay, great. That's what I was curious about. And then second of all, I know it's outlined in some of your, in your most recent Q, and will be outlined again in the second quarter Q, but about what percentage of your NGLs are hedged, either dirty hedges or direct hedges for 2013 as a percentage?
Yeah, Ross. Overall, we're about 70% hedged on our commodity exposure, and then of the NGL condensate exposure, 60% of those are direct product hedges versus proxy crude hedges.
Okay, and I meant to ask you what it is for 13. Is that consistent with what we have for 12 or not?
Yeah, for 12, we actually have a chart in the slides on page 23 for 2013. You can see overall we're about 64% hedged, and the direct product hedgers are roughly, what are they, Johnny, about?
Well, probably about 40%.
40%, yeah, about 40%.
Okay, great. Okay, that's it for me. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks, Ross.
And ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. Our next question will come from Becca Followill of U.S. Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Back on the propane business, the lower cost of market charge that you took for the quarter was much bigger than you've had historically. So can you just walk through what happened there? And then in order to get that back across the year, do you need to see a rebound in propane prices, or is that at risk getting that back, or is that a sure thing?
On the Becca, good morning. This is Mark. On the latter part of your question, the inventory is hedged or it's sold fixed price later this year into early next year. We think the bulk of it will move out during the fourth quarter, so it's very secure in that regard. And really, at the end of the day, it was the lingering impact from a record warm winter. We decided to roll some of the inventory to this coming winter, clearly in the environment, particularly later in the winter. We had a very solid first quarter, but later in the winter, we moved less product overall. And so with the higher inventory, we decided to roll some of that to later this year and have that secured under both derivative hedges, financial instruments, as well as forward fixed price sales.
Great. Thank you. That was my only question.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Bernie Colson of Global Hunter. Please go ahead.
Morning.
Good morning.
I was looking at slide 7 on the co-investment, and so you've got 240 on Southeast Texas, another 200 on the Mont Belvieu frac. So that's at 440. And then your guidance for the year, I think, was 600 for co-investment. And the Texas Express, is that included in the co-investment as well?
Bernie, the way to look at it would be the Southeast Texas 240, the Mount Belvieu fracs for 200, and Texas Express 85. That totals up to 525, and then on the subsequent slide relative to co-investment, we've guided to $685 million for the year, so that leaves approximately $160 million or more that we're forecasting for the balance of the year, and then that's also in the context of about a $900 million total spend if you include projects in our footprint as well as third-party acquisitions.
Okay, so if the billion-dollar number in 2013 and 2014, if you decide to accelerate some of that co-investment somewhat and, increase the 685 in 2012, does that, necessarily reduce that bucket for in 2013 and 2014, or do you think that you can increase the budget for 2012 and keep 13 and 14 kind of constant?
Growth can be a little bit lumpy, as we've said many times in the past. But we would expect in the aggregate to you know, to meet or exceed those numbers. So if we're a little higher in 2012, that doesn't necessarily mean we bring down 13. But having said that, you know, there can be some timing differences.
Yeah, okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Good day.
This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Mark Boer, President and CEO, for his closing remarks.
Thanks, Denise, and just want to thank everybody again today for your interest in the partnership. And if you have any follow-up questions over the coming days, please feel free to contact Johnny or Rose, and we can make ourselves available to visit. Thank you, and have a good day.
The conference has now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.